How many Shannon Hills Bible Chapel people does it take to change a light bulb? Change? Change? Who said anything about change? Oh, just kidding. We're going to change the order. One deacon. All right. All right. Just kidding. Change the... Let's pray quickly as we get started. Lord, thank you for our time tonight to gather, to sing, to look into your word, to share our needs and those of others with one another, and then... Lord, to share those needs with you through prayer. Bless our time, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I ask you to turn to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, very interesting. As I had thought about sharing tonight, my thoughts went to the election. This is before the election, and I had thought about these verses, and really my initial plans were for tonight. I was like most of the pundits, the pollsters, and most of the people expecting a very different outcome of the elections last night. So I had to kind of go and redo what I was thinking. But I'm using the same passage tonight, the same verses in Psalm 115. And what I really want to focus on is the importance of our response to the results of the election. And so let's just start out with Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Man, there's so much right there that I just want to get into that, but that's not what I'm here to talk about tonight. Look at the next verse. Why should the Gentiles, or the King James says the heathen, or we may say the nations, say, so where is their God? So where is their God? And that's the question that's on my mind tonight, that unbelievers or even other believers, but particularly unbelievers, would not look at us and say, based on our response to the results of the election, where is their God? Where is their God? If that's the way they're responding, where is their God? So that's kind of what I want us to think about, being careful that we don't respond in a manner that's not in line with our testimony of who our God is. Look as we keep reading, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Our God is the true and living God. He's not like the false gods of the world. And verse 4 talks about them. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Our God is in heaven. Our God is sovereign. He is in control. These other gods that the psalmist is speaking of, they are man-made, and they don't possess the attributes of life. And that's what we're going to see here. Our God made man in His own image, and He is the source of life. The source of life. And we see the psalmist here presenting Him as one who has life. Notice there, and we'll look at the contrast. First of all, in verse 5, speaking about those idols, they have mouths, but they do not speak. Well, our God speaks. Our God speaks. And we know how He speaks. He speaks through the Word of God. And my challenge I want you to think about tonight is that we want to be careful as believers in the Lord Jesus that we don't put words in God's mouth. Okay? Because God has given us His Word. He said what He wants to say. So we need to be careful that we don't say something acting like this is what God says when not necessarily. Now, the context of this is that not everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel voted for all the same candidates, okay? Not everybody. Not everybody in this room necessarily voted for Donald Trump. Some people voted for Hillary Clinton. Some people voted for a third-party candidate. Some people out of conviction didn't vote at all. So the thing we want to be careful is that we don't say that God voted for Donald Trump. Now, we could say God allowed Donald Trump to be in the president, and that's true. Now, what if Hillary Clinton had won? Would we say that God voted for Hillary Clinton? No, but we'd say that God allowed her to be in, or if Gary Johnson had won, or any of the other races. But what we do know that our God speaks for is unity. Unity. There are things that will divide even true believers, and there definitely are things that will divide believers from unbelievers. But we want to be careful that we don't put words in God's mouth and allow that to divide us. So I just want us to be careful about what we assume and what we say. I hope that makes sense, that you get the drift of what I'm thinking about. In other words, if someone is sitting right here and they voted for Hillary Clinton, and everybody in the room is, and I'm not saying it's wrong to praise God for the results of the election. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying we need to be careful because we want to be unified around the Lord Jesus, not divided around political candidates or parties. So our God speaks. Secondly, our God sees. Eyes, verse 5, eyes they have, but they do not see. We need to strive to see what God sees. And God sees Donald Trump. And God sees every official that was elected last night or early this morning or by the 18th of this month or whenever it is that those votes are certified. And He sees that all of those people, just like all of us, were all sinners. And I'm very thankful that hopefully unborn lives are going to have a voice in the highest office in the land, and that we're going to have a president who will, with conservative values, likely have the opportunity to appoint justice to the Supreme Court, but also realize that our new president is a sinner. And no different from me, you might say, he has blatantly committed sins that are very public. And says he doesn't need to ask God to forgive him for that. So that's part of the backdrop against which we need to make sure that as we look at someone, we need to know that yes, we may have voted for this particular person and this particular person won, but that particular person is not my Savior. He's not going to save us. She's not going to save us. No human being is going to save us. They're sinners like we're sinners. And we need to just keep that in balance as we think about our elected officials. Thirdly, our God hears. Notice there in verse 6, they have ears, but they do not hear. God hears. And we need to pray diligently for Donald Trump, for Barack Obama, and for all of our elected officials. 1 Timothy 2:2 makes that very clear. Our God hears our prayers, and we, as believers in the Lord Jesus, have an entrance before His throne of grace, and we have a stewardship of intercession. That really struck me today, a stewardship of intercession. We have the ability and the responsibility to take our elected officials before God in prayer. Our elected officials need our prayer support. And as we pray, I think we need to remember our brothers and sisters whom we are leading in prayer. Now, what I pray in my prayer closet is probably going to sound different than what I pray when I lead the assembly in prayer. And I think you would expect that. When I'm praying in my prayer closet, I'm praying my heart. When I'm leading the assembly in prayer, I should be praying the assembly's heart. Or at least that's the goal, that we're doing that and seeking to represent one another. Number four, our God smells. Now, take that right now. You know how I'm saying that. Make sure you get that right. Notice what he says there in the end of verse 6. Noses they have, but they do not smell. These idols have a nose, but they don't smell. Well, our God smells. Genesis 8:21, we read of Noah's offering after the flood, and he had come out of the flood after the water had gone away. And we read that that offering, those burnt offerings, ascended to the nose of God, and quote, "The Lord smelled a soothing aroma," end quote. Our God is living, and He enjoys the worship that comes from our lips and our lives as we sacrifice ourselves to Him as living sacrifices. And we need to keep our focus on what is most important to God. And while we may rejoice in what He has chosen to do on behalf of our nation, if we so rejoice, we need to keep focal, that, and we need to keep primary, that the aroma of the sacrifice of our lives offered to Him for the reflection of His Son in this world is more than the aroma of our investment in the government. So just as we rejoice, we need to make sure that we're rejoicing mostly in what is most dear to His heart, that we don't get those things out of balance. Not that we don't praise for everything we do. Number five, our God touches. What do we have in verse 7? They have hands, but they do not handle. God is touching our lives. And He's touching this world, and He's touching this nation for His purposes. He is directing, He is shaping, He is healing. And we need to put our primary trust in the God who touches our lives. His hands are strong, and His hands are active. And we need to be careful that our primary confidence is always in our God who is alive and not in our elected officials. We do trust them. We're called to submit to them, whether they're the ones we voted for or not. And yet, as believers, that's a small thing because we're trusting God. We're trusting the one who's behind all the leaders, the one who raises up leaders and puts down leaders. And finally, our God walks. We see that in verse 7. Feet they have, but they do not walk. And we read in Genesis that the Lord walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. We read that He walked with Enoch, or literally that Enoch walked with Him. But our God walks. 2 Corinthians 6:16, Paul writes this, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" That fits right into what we're talking about here, idols. "For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." My encouragement here to myself and to all of us is we need to not allow culture or current events in any way, good or bad, to hinder our fellowship with God. Because He says, "I'm here walking among you. I'm walking among you." He wants our heart to be His heart. He wants what's most important to Him to be most important to us. Now again, that doesn't discount anything. He cares about everything in our lives. He cares about the election. He cares about our votes. He cares about our convictions. But I want to be careful that nothing of this world is allowed to get in between the Lord and me. That I want to walk with Him. And these things of this world, not just the election, a lot of things in this world can get in the way. So our God is the living and true God. And I want to live in such a way as to reveal that He is alive. And He is here with us. So we see that He speaks, He sees, He hears, He smells, He touches, He walks. And I've sought to make some application again to just hopefully put these things in balance, even as we come before the Lord in prayer, that we might be sensitive to one another and sensitive to the heart of God. And these are just my personal challenges to you tonight and to myself. But thank you, Stephen.